What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Midnight tonight is the deadline for Trump coming up with that $500 million. And does he or doesn't he? And is there an appeals process? More on that later. But that's some pretty exciting politics. Also, the president of Mexico was on 60 Minutes last night. What a kook. And that's our number one trading partner and right on our border. And millions of people are crossing from that country into our country. So we'll check in on that story a little bit.
I think it is one of the great undiscussed stories of our time. Maybe the great undiscussed story of our time, that we live cheek by jowl with a half failed narco state.
And it's more of that now than it was a couple years ago.
Right. Hey, before we dive into the fare of this hour, just wanted to greet new listeners around the country joining us on some great radio stations. Thank you very much for being here. Hope you enjoy the show. It's a little different than what you may be used to. Give it a little while, if you'd be so kind. If you still don't like it, give it another week. Couple of statistics you are going to be hammered with, or sets of statistics. And you've probably heard some of these before, but during an election year, you'll absolutely be hammered with them. Have to do with, on the first hand, the plight of the poor in the United States and the need for more government programs. And then a really interesting example about maternal mortality that you'll hear thrown around, too, that you should be aware of. But I thought this was so good. George Will pointing out something that, Jack, you've pointed out through the years. And he starts with an anecdote, a Manhattan district attorney saying he would not prosecute people who jump subway turnstiles to avoid paying fares because this is a crime of poverty and desperation.
Oh, right. Every person jumping a turnstile, it's because I'm trying best I can to get a job, but just the current system won't allow it. Blah, blah, blah. Right.
And he doesn't name this retired New York police chief who responded. I wish he had, because I want to know his name. But he responded, yeah, find me a turnstile jumper who doesn't have a smartphone. Even one. I'll bet you can't. So George Will points out that during cloudy election year campaigns, the nature and importance of economic inequality really get lifted up. Everybody's discussing economic inequality, income inequality. In more than 50 years, government transfer payments, which include Medicaid, food stamps, and all sorts of different programs, to the average household in the bottom quintile of earners, that's your bottom fifth of earners, have risen in inflation-adjusted dollars, this is just the last 50 years, from $9,700 to $45,000 annually. And again, that's since 1974. So why then does the government, which is substantially staffed by progressives, use statistics that suggest that these anti-poverty policies are perfectly futile because they continue to make the same argument, oh, people are very poor, they need more and more and more and more. And Will points out the reason they do that is it provides a permanent rationale for government growth, perpetual undiminished poverty. But the problem is the poverty is diminished a lot.
Right. So I used to wonder, why have wages not risen in however many years? That's adjusted for inflation. That's the stat they always hit with. You went back to the 80s, wages haven't really. What is going on? It's because the transfer payments, the redistribution of wealth has exploded in that amount of time. That's where the growth came from.
Right, right. And in a book that came out a couple of years ago, Phil Graham and a couple other fellows, The Myth of American Inequality, pointed out that there are gross defects in the Census Bureau's measurement of inequality. These statistics you hear are affected by the following. By not counting about 88% of government transfer payments that enlarge the buying power of lower-income households. I mean, what else is income than giving you money to buy stuff with? And not counting the taxes that lower the wealth of higher-income households.
Right, right. That's a good point. Yeah, they never subtract on that end.
So you don't count the money out on the top end, and you don't count the money in on the low end.
I remember doing this last year on tax day, probably do it again this year on tax day. It's a bit of a eye-glazing mathematics thing. But, I mean, you'll hear these multiples that they throw around that the average.
I got it right in front of me.
Okay. But so the average person is this many multiple times the other person. Okay. So you're taking the big number, you're not taking the taxes out. The bottom number, you're not adding in the taxes they get. So you have the biggest difference you can possibly have. It's a flat out lie. It's not
it's
just
scam.
Being, inaccurate with your data, it's a lie.
Where is it? By not counting about 88% of the government transfer payments or the taxes, government statistics claim to prove that the average income in the top quintile of earners is 16.7 times that of the average in the bottom quintile. But when you include the taxes and the transfers, it's not 16.7 times, it's 4 times as much. It's 4-1, not 17-1.
Right. Just a very simplified version, and these numbers won't be accurate, but just surely you can picture this. If you got somebody who makes $200,000 a year, they get to keep, I don't know, if you're in California, maybe a little less than half of that. But let's call it half of that. They actually have like $100,000 to live on out of their $200,000 they make, roughly, just really roughly for this point. Mm-hmm. And then you got the person who makes $50,000 a year, who's making a fourth as much as the $200,000. They get $50,000 in various government programs, you know, your electric bill or whatever it is. So you're actually more like 100. So the one person came down to 100, the other person came up to 100 in this scenario.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, to cite an extreme example, but they point out that according to the government's own statistics, those in the bottom quintile spend twice as much as they earn. And you ask the government, wait a minute, how is that possible? And their answer is, don't worry about it, never mind. So again, Will is absolutely correct. This provides a permanent rationale for government growth, perpetual undiminished poverty.
I feel like this has just become, it's certainly not mainstream. It's like become mainstream finally in like the chatting classes on the right, but it needs to go fully mainstream. This is the thing people don't understand at all about the whole so-called inequality problem that we've got going on in America. The amount of money that's all being transferred. I came across this article last night. Charles Murray, is he the guy that's wrote the bell curve? Is that his name?
Yes, I believe so.
Is that right? For some reason, it sounds wrong.
It doesn't sound right.
That doesn't sound
Douglas
right.
Murray. Charles.
Somebody look that
up. Look it up.
Who wrote the bell curve, Katie? Google that for me. Anyway, so he got a book out a year or so ago. I think we even talked to him about it. He wants to go with the guaranteed basic income thing, where you get a check from the government for a certain amount, but do away with all the programs. And so he's pushing that as a libertarian. So he recently, and I saw him a quote of this from him yesterday. He recently found out that his proposed, what is that right name?
Charles A. Murray and Richard Herrnstein.
Okay. Charles Murray did write the bill curve. Anyway, so
thank
he's
you.
Pushing this this basic income that you get from the government idea. And then you found out that his number that he was throwing around is like half what people already get from the government in various wealth distribution. So it would never work. I mean, it's not even close to the amount you get now.
Right. Well, and the left would never, ever go for it because it interrupts their argument for a permanent growth of government programs. The other interesting statistical lie, why not just go with the simple term lie, that I wanted to bring up was, and I have actually heard this, the U.S. pregnancy crisis. They're referring to America's supposedly soaring maternal mortality rates. And according to the AMA, which is an utterly political organization, the U.S., quote, stands out among high-income nations for its alarming incidence of maternal deaths despite substantial health care spending. Quote, evidence and experience shows us conclusively that the risk of death during or after childbirth is approximately 14 times greater than the risk of death from abortion-related complications, according to the AMA. And yes, this does factor into the whole women's health pro-abortion thing. And these folks suggested that the justices who are about to overturn Roe v. Wade would have blood on their hands because so many women die in childbirth these days. But as with the COVID pandemic, writes Alicia Finley, experts are using bad data to drive a political agenda. New study this month in the American Journal of OBGYNs showed that off-cited U.S. maternal mortality stats are inflated owing to discrepancies in how pregnancy deaths are recorded. The Centers for Disease Control and other groups have roughly say that maternal mortality rates in the U.S. have roughly tripled since 2001, which is impossible. This is nearly three times as high as rates in other developed countries. But as the study concludes, it's largely a statistical artifact. Deaths among pregnant women or new mothers are often classified as maternal, even if they owe to other causes, such as cancer or pre-existing conditions. The culprit is a checkbox that states added to death certificates in 2003 to identify women who had died while pregnant or between 42 days and a year of when their pregnancy ended, depending on the state. It is a statistical anomaly caused by... Do you remember the great under-discussed matter of did they die from COVID or with COVID?
Mm-hmm.
And how that the failure to differentiate between those two causes or ways to die caused just ridiculous statistical inaccuracies. This is the same thing. It's anybody who died within a year in some states of having given birth, even if it's a car accident. But they include these in these grossly inflated maternal death statistics.
If you ever hear any statistic that hits you as, wow, that doesn't sound right, it probably isn't.
Right. Right. It's like the U.S. is 22nd in the world in math achievement. And as pathetic as our public schools are in many places around the country, that's because we test everybody in this country. A country like Germany, for instance, just tests their college track students. And so, because they have like vocational ed like we should have, and then a college track. So, yeah. Yeah, statistics, especially in an election year, are not to be taken at face value.
God, I have one kid that would love it if there was a track that was not college oriented. But if you go to, you know, your school's orientation meetings, it's all they talk about is the college track, just because that's what everybody should do. Because that's the way you have a happy life, going to college.
Well, 97% of the teachers and all of the administrators made college their track.
Right. I am ready to lecture you all a little bit later. Those of you who thought or said disparaging things about Kate Middleton, our princess.
Who's princess?
Just awful. I mean, people were throwing her, maybe she had a sex change. I remember somebody saying that. I mean, just as awful a thing as anybody could possibly say, given what actually happened. I think I said that.
Ugh.
if you haven't heard the update on that story, it explains everything.
Sure, of course it does. Yeah. And why do you care anyway?
Well, that's a good question.
If Kate Middleton isn't seen for 3 years, why do you care? What is the matter with
you? Don't you understand? They photoshopped the family photo. Damn it. Do you not understand the consequences?
We fought two wars, not one but two, with the Brits for the right to not give a damn about the royal family. And we won. We won.
We have a bunch of stuff on the way. Stay here.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
One advice I would give to the conference and to the speaker is do not be fearful of a motion to vacate. I do not think they could do it again. That was sheerly based on Matt Gaetz trying to stop an ethics complaint. I don't think the Democrats will go along with it too. Focus on the country, focus on the job you're supposed to do, and actually do it fearlessly. Just move forward.
That's former Speaker Kevin McCarthy saying Mike Johnson, the current Speaker of the House, I finally have memorized his name. Probably about the time he gets booted, should not be worried about Marjorie Taylor Greene or whoever calling for his ouster, that he doesn't think that'll happen again. He had to throw in there that Matt Gaetz was trying to avoid an ethics complaint to get a shot at him, but probably completely accurately. Brian Rydell, I should figure out how to pronounce his name because I follow his Twitter account and really like it, commenting on the current state of Congress. Oh, this is because my favorite congressperson, Mike Gallagher out of Wisconsin, he announced he's leaving, and then he announced on Friday he's leaving now, like in April. Mm-hmm. He's done now. And he's like, he's a Republican, but you'd have to like him even as a Democrat. He's like a normal person. He's like he's an intellectual. You might disagree with his politics, but he's a completely 100% serious person.
Yeah.
And as one of my favorite pundits wrote, Congress has become absolutely unbearable for serious people who want to do policy, and driving out the sane ones, replaced with more crazy ones, only makes the place worse, driving out more sane ones. Hope you all enjoy Congress as a hyper-partisan infotainment reality show.
That's a really good description. It's a bunch of would-be social media stars who raise money and fame by being outrageous.
A hyper-partisan...
Or always defiant, never making a deal.
And perfectly comfortable being in the minority as long as you get lots of clicks and fundraise right off of it and get reelected. Hyperpartisan infotainment reality show. So Mike Gallagher and a number of other congresspeople that are leaving likely will be replaced by people that say crazy things on cable news shows or social media. And so we'll go further down that road. Fantastic. That's something to look forward to.
I've got to admit, as much as I just can't stand left politics, particularly woke, progressive, sick stuff, my faith in the Republican Party to actually govern is not super high right now.
So the opening day for Major League Baseball used to be a really big deal. Now they dribble it out a couple of games here and there, and it's not as fun to me. But anyway, opening day is a game on Thursday, this Thursday, when the Diamondbacks are at the Rockies, the traditional Rockies-Diamondbacks juggernaut. Anywho, the chefs at Chase Field there in Arizona have prepared 30 new menu items to be unveiled for the 2024 season. It's supposed to be among the best eating you can get at any ballpark in America. Footlong Sonoran hot dogs, desserts galore, including churro sundaes, apple pie chimichangas.
That sounds pretty good.
And I eat the hell of an apple pie chimichanga. Drink 15 beers and vomit it all over my shoes.
It's a fried apple pie. Oh.
How good does that sound? Anyway, there's a whole bunch of... They figured out there's a lot of money in this at ballparks all across America. And so there's a lot of ballparks that are unveiling lots of new menu items this year.
Yeah, well, I told you when I went to see the Tampa Bay Rays, they had coconut shrimp in a waffle cone at the old ballpark.
Wow. Why did for so many years they just stick with a hot dog and nachos, not realizing there was so much money to be made by...
Somebody, washed down with Tanqueray and tonic, too.
Or maybe we weren't just as gluttonous back in the day. I don't know. That could be the whole answer, actually.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Videos posted on social media show people screaming and ducking for cover as the gunmen fired round after round of automatic gunfire. Someone's shooting here, this man says. The hall is burning. They've set us on fire. Outside, the building was engulfed in flames. Inside, concertgoers tried to escape the relentless gunfire, trapped in a crush of panicked people.
Just absolutely brutal. And I hope we don't see something like that in the United States anytime soon with ISIS-K getting across the border. But more on that in just a second. Here's some more of how that all went down. So 4 guys from Tajikistan that they captured there in Russia. This is what Putin says.
Despite the fact that ISIS has claimed responsibility, he used the opportunity to bolster support for his war in Ukraine, now entering its 3rd year. The assailants were moving in the direction of Ukraine, Putin claimed, where they had a Russian border crossing prepared from the Ukrainian side. It's a charge Ukraine flatly denies, and the U.S. has categorically repudiated.
So we warned Putin last week that there was an ISIS attack being planned on a venue full of people, maybe a music concert, something like that. And he thought that the West was trying to blackmail him into something. You got to admit, it's a little weird to have, you know, 2 countries that are basically at war with each other. Hey, by the way, you're about to get a terrorist attack, letting you know. Hate to see anybody get hurt. I think the real reason we warned them, and we did it out loud, it was in the New York Times on Friday, I think it was. We did it out loud so that when Putin would come out over the weekend and blame Ukraine, we could say, no, it's not. And you know it's not. And we knew it was ISIS before it even happened.
And the State Department warned U.S. citizens, too, to avoid gatherings in Russia. I have never come across an incident that is so fertile ground for conspiracy theories and paranoia and misinformation and that sort of thing. I mean, first of all, you have Putin, who has a history of false flag operations to justify various acts of war in Chechnya or whatever else. You have the involvement of the CIA making that statement. Putin rejected it. Then you have his trying to blame Ukraine. You have the fact that these guys were shooting and burning for over an hour without opposition in, as Garry Kasparov, the great chess master and dissident, pointed out, this is a city where you can be arrested in 30 seconds for whispering no war. And these guys came in, did what they wanted, and drove out again, and then carried their Tajik passports on them while heading toward a militarized border. Come on.
Right.
So what actually happened? I have a feeling it is ISIS-K.
Sure.
But, man, is this fertile ground for all sorts of rumors and conspiracies.
So ISIS-K, that's the group that killed a whole bunch of our guys there in Afghanistan when we were leaving at that gate. They're the ones that pulled off the big terrorist attack in Iran a couple of weeks ago. They have reconstituted in Afghanistan, as Michael McCall was talking on one of the talk shows yesterday.
It's sort of like we're going back to that old playbook where history repeats itself. And that's why the fall of Afghanistan, the way it was done and the way we left it with no ISR capability, that intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance, puts us in danger where this is a new battleground, training ground for ISIS.
Well, let's hear what Marco Rubio, Senate. He runs the same. So McCall runs the committee for the Republicans. Rubio's on the committee for the Senate.
If you think back to the end of 2020 under the Trump administration, ISIS was basically out of business. I mean, they were down to less than 1,000 fighters or so forth. And now they've reconstituted themselves. And part of it is, once we leave in Afghanistan, we're no longer there to conduct regular strikes. They can now operate openly. No matter how much the Taliban wants to take them on, they can't. They don't have the capability to do it. And these guys have found a place to operate from. They need real estate. They need land. They need places where they can organize and do external plotting. They would love to do what they did in Moscow here inside the United States. And it's something we have to be very vigilant about when we have a border in which 9 million people have come across in the last 3 years.
Obviously. And we get an event like what happened in Moscow over the weekend. Did it even mention in there the 137 killed, 150 injured? I mean, that's a lot of people. That's a big terrorist attack. That happened in the United States. Woof. Well, you talk about turning our politics upside down. Holy crap.
Well, a couple of points, just to repeat, the conversation about radical Islam coexisting with the West that was quiet for a while is back. It never went away. It just paused. So welcome back to that. Secondly, and I thought this was great analysis in the Wall Street Journal, they pointed out that, you know, we've got our serious conflicts going on with Russia and China, Iran. But to the Islamic State, they're all enemies of the Muslim faith that need to be annihilated. So say what you want about the subhuman monsters of ISIS, but they sincerely want to kill and fight everybody who's holding back fundamentalist Islam, including our enemies.
Including the Taliban.
Sure, yeah.
Including Iran, as we saw a couple weeks ago with the big terrorist attack. So the most interesting thing Mike McCall said yesterday to me was, and this is an attitude that the Biden administration is shot through with and affecting so many different things. He said when we left Afghanistan the way we did, our State Department, and he said it goes all the way up to the White House, thought we could keep the embassy open and we could normalize with the Taliban and we would still have some say there. So that is the problem Joe Biden has had his whole damn career, and what every single foreign policy thing we got going on right now that is a mess is because of that fanciful unicorn, like you're an 8-year-old girl version of the world. You thought that, no, the Taliban, they'll work with us and we'll be able to normalize because we'll be nice to them, so they'll be nice to us. And they thought the same thing with freaking Iran. No, we'll give them a whole bunch of money. We'll loosen up that all money. And then they've told us they won't try to get nuclear weapons, so that will be taken care of. Obama thought that too. And and then what's going on with Hamas and Israel? Just similar sort of situation that we can reason with any of these people.
Two-state solution. Come on.
Where does this come from? What historical evidence do you have that these super bad guys can be reasoned with like this?
Well, that's the problem with hubris. It leads you to ignore that which is plainly true. Like Barack Obama believed that he could lecture anybody yep. into compliance and convince them of the wisdom of his plan, and they could negotiate away every conflict on earth. Well, Joe Biden thinks he can backslap his way into solving every problem on earth. Just gonna turn on little old Scranton Joe and get together with him and talk it out, and it'll be fine. It's ridiculous.
You thought you were going to normalize with the Taliban and then things were going to be fine. Really? Wow. That is disturbing. And so now we got a terrorist group that wants to attack us out in Afghanistan in the middle of nowhere, just exactly like before 9/11 and Al-Qaeda. It's amazing.
And if it were only Afghanistan, that would be bad enough. But I found this really interesting, great analysis in the Wall Street Journal. Recent security sweep inside a sprawling fenced refugee camp holding 44,000 people turned up a raft of weapons, dozens of Islamic State militants, and a Yazidi woman who had been held by the group for nearly 10 years. This is in Syria. For many, the horrors of the Islamic State ended when the U.S.-led military campaign collapsed them in 2019, got rid of the so-called caliphate. But 5 years later, tens of thousands of civilians are still being kept in camps, including this one they're highlighting, which are filled with the families of Islamic State militants and others inadvertently swept up. The camps are part of a bigger problem. Some 9,000 Islamic State fighters are being held separately in a network of detention centers in the same region, and they're being held by our Kurdish allies with our arms and financing and the rest of it. And if either the Kurds fall, because remember, they're all under constant pressure from the Turks, or if the next administration decides we're not going to fund this stuff anymore, you got thousands of pissed off ISIS fighters in these camps ready to go. And I made the point at another time, but and it reminds me a little bit of the Israeli-Palestinian, or I'm sorry, I should say the Israel-Hamas conflict right now. For virtually all of human history, I mean all of human history, if you had a foe that was bent on decimating you and you beat them, you would decimate them. You wouldn't put them in camps and say, I hope they'll be nice if we keep them in a camp for 5 years, or turn them back to their hometown slowly but surely. In the same way that I think Netanyahu has decided, no, we're not going to cooperate with Hamas on any level. We're going to kill them all. And I just wonder whether trying to reinvent history makes for problems that never go away. And no, is Joe Getty calling from some sort of mass slaughter of everybody held in those camps? No, I haven't really thought it through. And besides, I'm a talk show host. I couldn't get that done if I wanted to. But you know what I'm saying, right?
One more clip from Marco Rubio that I think is interesting on two levels. One, the geopolitics of it, and he understands it a lot. And two, keeping in mind that NBC reported last week that he's on the short list to be Trump's running mate. So keep that in mind.
Everything has gone on fire since the time Joe Biden took over. Afghanistan's gone down. Ukraine has been invaded. Now the Philippines and the Chinese are on the verge of something bad happening every single day. Not to mention the threats to Taiwan. We have this blow up in Haiti going on in our very own hemisphere. We wake up every single day, terrorist attacks. But 9 million people across the border.
I mean that's what matters. You're not suggesting that's all happening because of Biden.
Absolutely, I am.
Absolutely,
I'm suggesting it happened because of Biden. He's president, and his weakness and his...
It's because of Biden that Russia invaded Ukraine?
Absolutely.
It's because of Biden that Haiti... Okay,
absolutely. I mean, Putin is sitting there saying, these guys can't even stand up to the Taliban, and they have to fly people hanging off the wings of these airplanes. Now's the time to go.
That's the Marco Rubio that is going to be on the campaign trail if he's picked to be the running mate for Donald Trump. And that's how he's going to sleep well at night, too. Because he has a lot of problems with Trump that he has decided to swallow since he originally ran against him in 2016. But that's how he'll sleep well at night, and I can see how, in that, look, this is where we are in the world. The world's on fire. It's going to blow up, and that ain't good for the United States, and I want to get Joe Biden out of there and somebody that's not Joe Biden, in this case Donald Trump, in. That's how he'll justify it in his mind, I think.
I think you've nailed it. Absolutely right. To Marco Rubio and to a lot of us, the idea that you could have a flawed but robust and tough foreign policy under Trump, or a flawed and weak and apologetic foreign policy under Biden, for a guy like Rubio again, or me, frankly, that's not a difficult choice.
Yeah, interesting. So listen for that same sound clip when he debates Kamala Harris during the during the presidential election at some point.
Oh, speaking
of our lifetime,
the most election of our lifetime.
That's indisputable. Where's that new Kamala clip? Which one is that, Michael? You got that? Come on now. I know we have it.
Is it clip 9?
Fire away.
There is no whatsoever any evidence, and in fact, what we know to be the case is that ISIS-K is actually, by all accounts, responsible for what happened.
That is unedited. That is Kamala. Play it one more time, Michael.
There is no whatsoever any evidence, and in fact, what we know to be the case is that ISIS-K is actually, by all accounts, responsible for what happened.
First half of that sentence is difficult to diagram. I don't know where the subject and predicate are. And
is anybody hurt? It's a train wreck.
We got a lot more on the way, stay here.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code. A lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant. AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
We're getting very close to the decision that's going to have to be made about TikTok. We are looking, you know, China owns TikTok, and we are threatening to ban it. So the kids who like TikTok, they're sending threatening messages to Congress people saying they're going to shoot them and cut them into pieces. On the bright side, it's good to see the young people interested in government again. I think that could come down this week. China either sells it to an American or we ban it. I got a better idea. How about we trade it for Boeing?
Hey!
I don't appreciate that.
I remember telling this story a while back. I had a delayed flight into Denver, and then I had a connection I had to make, and the time just kept getting shorter. It was one of those who were sitting on the tarmac, they wouldn't let us off the plane situations. I was getting so angry as the minutes ticked away and more and more people were saying, well, I've missed my connection. That ruins my entire vacation. That sort of thing. Oh, I hate that. Roll some stairs out and let us get off the damn plane. God dang it. But anyway, that's not what I'm here to talk about. So I had my connection, and when they were finally getting up there, I mean, everybody was talking to each other about this whole thing, and I was showing somebody, I said, I got to get to gate, whatchamacallit, from here in like 2 minutes. Can I do it? And everybody said, not a chance. You don't have a chance. I thought, well, I'm going to try. Just on the hope, and this is what ended up turning out, that they got held up for a little bit. So that it gave me like an extra couple minutes. Otherwise, I wouldn't have made it. But I ran the whole way. I'm in cowboy boots, and I got a big bag I'm pulling and one on my shoulder. And I ran the entire way. And I mean, I was getting full pain in the side like you're in high school cross country.
Wow.
Sweat pouring off of me, athletic event tired. It was such a long run. And I kept thinking, how far is this actually? How far am I running? Well, so I'll list out today. Airports that have the longest treks to their gates, and the Denver International Airport that I was at does have, I mean, if you end up on opposite ends, 1.45 miles.
Wow.
Some of that is you're riding a train, but a lot of it is not. So you might actually, I probably ran a mile.
Wow, so there's no better way to start a flight than sweat-soaked, too.
In cowboy boots, pulling a bag and one on my shoulder, I ran a mile, probably. Yeah. The longest is Dallas-Fort Worth, if you've ever had that. From where you get your ticket to the gate for your plane can be 2.16 miles.
Wow.
That's a long way. Your longest treks are Dallas, Washington Dulles, George Bush in Houston. I don't think I've ever been to that airport. Denver, which I go to multiple times a year, and John F. Kennedy Airport in New York. Your shortest walks in your tiny little airports, like Hollywood Burbank. Man, if you ever fly into L.A., if you're listening from anywhere, you don't know this. You probably buy tickets to LAX. Don't do that.
Right.
Fly into Burbank, tiny little awesome efficient airport, 0.2 miles, fifth shortest walk of any airport in America. Along with a whole bunch of other little ones that you're probably not going there. Oh, there's a little one. No, you're not going to any of these other places. So.
How do you know? Maybe I want to.
But you are probably going to L.A. someday to go to Disneyland or watch Shohei Ohtani yank one into straight at a guy because he's got money on it.
Whoa, no? That's a little hasty. No, there's no evidence that the great Ohtani is gambling. His George Santos / Joe Biden-like interpreter?
Right.
Now, he was up to goodness knows what.
That's good news for Ohtani, who there's no reason to think that he was gambling on sports or anything like that. Especially now that, you know, his interpreter would lied about everything on his resume. How did they not do a better background check on that? But anyway, that guy's all kinds of weird and lying and probably did steal from the guy that was paying him.
Yeah, almost certainly. You know, given how sloppy the vast majority of organizations are about ever checking anything that's on your resume, I just, to amuse myself, I would like to concoct something ridiculous. But there's really no point at this point in my career, but just to see if you can get away with it.
What?
And then I was in the in NASA for a while and flew on one space shuttle mission. But anyway, I'm really excited about this opportunity.
Well, why don't I have a philosophy degree from Nebraska University? I mean, why? Why not? On my resume.
Why not? Indeed.
Anybody ever challenge me? Oh, yeah, Hegel. Talked a lot about Hegel. All the time, Hegel.
Armstrong and Getty.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.